Today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. The readings are taken today from the 5th Sunday after Epiphany. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, sentiments of mercy, goodness, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, taken from Matthew chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then has it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps, gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barn. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, the purpose of all of creation is the glory of God. It is the purpose of our creation. We are on this earth really for one reason, and that is to give glory to God. And how do we do that? What's the main way that we're going to do that? It's by letting Him make out of us saints. On November 1st, the Feast of All Saints, we were reminded of this, that the saints glorify God because He made them saints. Only God can make saints. God is holiness. Only He can make us holy. And that's why holiness is simply this gift of self to God, letting Him transform us. That is what a saint is. There is a priest, Father Mateo. He tells a story of a catechism class when the children were asked, what is a saint? And one child raised his hand and said, a saint is someone who is changed into Jesus. And the priest was amazed by the answer, which is theologically very profound and very accurate. He said, yes, you're right. That is what a saint is. Someone who is changed into Jesus. And this transformation into Christ by God's grace and our efforts, this is God's plan for every soul. And this is what glorifies Him. We start out with original sin. We have our own weaknesses. We have our own actual sins. We have all kinds of miseries. We all know ourselves. We know what we struggle with. And yet, when we become patient, when we become loving, become kind, forgiving, at the end of our life, hopefully we are like Christ. That's what God's plan for us is. And that's what sanctity is all about. And then on November 2nd, we see what happens when a soul does not follow God's plan. When the soul does not cooperate with God's grace to become a saint. We see this doctrine of purgatory. God does not want us to go to purgatory. We must not forget that. It's not part of His plan. In His mercy, He created purgatory because He knows the weakness of men. And thank God, thank God for His mercy. But we have to realize that it's not what he wants. It's not his plan. And so he doesn't want us to go there, and we should not want to go there either. And to help us with that, it's good to consider this dogma of our faith, this dogma of purgatory. Here are the words of the Magisterium, which are De Fide pronouncement on this dogma. The souls of the just, which in the moment of death are burdened with venial sins or temporal punishment due to sin, enter purgatory. The Magisterium teaches that it is a place. A place, it is a state of temporal purification by means of a cleansing fire. And it is really a fire. It's a fire not just like the fire on this earth, obviously. It is a fire which has the ability to burn spirits, to burn the soul. This doctrine is not very popular in the new church. And that is because of the new theology. The new theology, which especially in those decades before Vatican II, which was pushing this idea of the dignity of man. Man is wonderful. Man is glorious. And sin, we don't really talk about original sin or even actual sin for that matter. Sin firstly hurts man. It hurts the dignity of man. It doesn't really offend God. That's the new theology. And that's what you find underneath the Novus Ordo Mass. In the new Mass, in these new Eucharistic prayers, there's no reference to the state of suffering of the faithful departed at all. There's no space for a special intention for them. Normally the priest, at the memento of the dead, he can pause and he remembers some faithful departed. There's no place for that. And this weakens the faith in the propitiatory and redemptive nature of the sacrifice, obviously. It's one of the many reasons which weakens the faith in this element of the sacrifice. We don't pray for the faithful departed because we don't need to. No, of course we need to. In 2007, Pope Benedict XVI he wrote an encyclical called Spe Salvi, so saved through hope. And he seems to agree with some modern theologians that the fire of purgatory is Christ himself. This, of course, is a new idea. So when the soul dies, the soul encounters Christ, and this encounter is so intense and so painful, so to speak, that the soul is purified. He says, that's purgatory. Well, that's not what the church has taught for 2,000 years. And we want to consider what the church has always taught. It's something much, much worse than that, much more intense than that. Of course, we have proofs from Scripture, the famous words of Judas Maccabeus. He says, it is therefore a holy and wholesome thing to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. And they not only prayed for the dead, the Jews, but they also offered sacrifices and almsgiving to release these poor souls. So even in the Old Testament, we have the words of our Lord himself indirectly mentions purgatory. When does he do this? When he talks about the sin against the Holy Ghost. Remember, he says, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. Which, of course, implies that, in fact, there is forgiveness in the next life. He also says in one of the parables, Amen, I say to thee, thou shalt not go out from hence. That is, from the prison, till thou repay the last farthing. Yes, until thou repay the last farthing. And there are many other scriptural references. St. Paul speaks about this fire through which we have to be saved. And there's also many convincing proofs from tradition. The fathers of the church are actually unanimous on this doctrine of purgatory. St. Cyprian, St. Augustine, St. Gregory Nazianzen, and St. Gregory of Nyssa. It's been the constant teaching of the church. And there are many accounts in the lives of the saints of souls coming back after their death and appearing to the saints, asking for prayers. In Rome, there's a very impressive little chapel called the Purgatorium, which if you ever go to Rome, I encourage you to visit this little chapel. It's not very big. And this church is filled with relics, if we can call them that, of the poor souls in purgatory. Of them coming back and asking for prayers. The theological argument for the doctrine of purgatory is very simple. It makes sense to us. It's based on the concepts of the sanctity and the justice of God. Sanctity of the holiness of God. It demands that only completely pure souls can enter heaven. And remember, we learned in our catechism that when we die, if we're not ready to see God, if we're not purified, we wouldn't want to see God. You can imagine, you know, remember the stories they used to tell us, you know, if you go to visit a great king or an important person, and if you're dirty, you've just come from work and you're not presentable, you wouldn't want to meet someone like that. Or a young man who's going to take his girlfriend out to dinner. If he's filthy, dirty, of course he's not going to see her. So if there's any imperfections, impurities of our soul when we die, the soul doesn't even want to see God at that point. It wants to be prepared. And also God's justice. God's justice demands that the punishment due to sin be satisfied. And he gives us many opportunities in this life, but if we don't take those opportunities. And then lastly, what is the nature of the punishment of this cleansing fire? What does the church teach us about this? Well, it's actually analogous to the sufferings of hell. These punishments consist of two things. There's a pain of loss and also a pain of the senses, a pain of sense. First of all, this pain of loss. You know, the souls in purgatory, they're conscious that they are the children and the friends of God. And therefore, they want this union. This is what they've been created for. They want to be united to God for all eternity. And so this temporal separation is all the more painful to them. The holier they become in purgatory, as they're being purified, they want this union, and it's difficult, it's painful. But not only that, the church also tells us there's this pain of sense. Sensible because it is a punishment for sin. And sin is this turning away from God and this turning towards creatures. And this is what has to be purified. So it is analogous. It's not identical to hell because these pains coexist with charity and hope. And the soul knows that they're going to end. That's the main difference, of course. But St. Thomas says, St. Thomas Aquinas, he says, apart from this duration and this element of hope, there is no distinction between the torments of hell and those of purgatory. There's no real difference. And he also says, the same fire burns the lost and the saved. And as far as the intensity, it's really helpful to read some of these quotations from the saints to hear what they have to say. Cause sometimes we hear people say things like, well, you know, I'm just going to go to purgatory when I die. You know, I can't become a saint, it's too hard. And so this idea that we're just going to go to purgatory and spend some time there before we go to heaven it's not a good idea. St. Augustine says, the pains of purgatory are greater than the sufferings of all the martyrs combined. St. Cyril of Alexandria, all the tortures that one can conceive of in this world are refreshing compared with the least pain of purgatory. St. Thomas Aquinas again says something similar. He says, the least pain in purgatory is greater than the greatest suffering on earth. So dear friends, this is not a place that we want to go to. And especially right now, we need to pray for the poor souls. We need to help them. Once we realize just how terrible this place is, we want to help them. They are members of the mystical body of Christ. They are the church suffering. We're the church militant, but they really are our brothers and sisters. You're closer to them because of, you have the same grace, the same charity in your soul as they do. You're closer to them in the mystical body of Christ. That union is more profound than even like your brother or your sister in your family. The relations of blood are not as strong as the relations of the mystical body of Christ. So we have this, we even have a certain duty to pray for them. And because they are suffering so much, St. Thomas Aquinas says, this is the greatest spiritual work of mercy. We know there's a whole list of them, and they're all important, and we have to do all of them. But he says, the highest act of fraternal charity is to relieve the sufferings of the poor souls, because they are suffering so much. They're suffering more than anybody. So we want to help them. We want to help them, but we also want to learn from them. We want to learn from their mistakes, and that's what they would want. What would they tell us? These souls who are suffering, perhaps are suffering for a long time. What would they tell us if they had the chance? They would tell us, firstly and certainly, to pray more. They would say, if only I had prayed more. If only I had spent more time looking for God, spending time with God, and instead of interested in so many unimportant things, wasting so much time. If only I'd used my time better. And they would also say, suffer well. Be patient. You know, God gives us crosses. He gives us suffering in this life. And part of that suffering is meant to expiate our sins. And yet we try to dodge it. We complain. You know, we try to, drop our cross. But no, we want to accept our cross, accept our sufferings, and realize that part of it is for our sins. And that we can do our purgatory now on this earth. And the good news is, if we suffer now, and if we're in the state of grace, we kill many birds with one stone. We expiate our past sins. We merit for heaven. And we can also do good to other souls. We can save other souls by our sufferings. The souls in purgatory are just suffering. That's it. There's no merit. So on the one hand, the suffering is the most intense, more intense than anything in this life, but there's no merit. It's just, they're just paying off the credit card, so to speak. They're not earning anything. So for us now, we have a chance to, when we suffer, many good things can happen. And that's why we want to accept our sufferings, and that's what they would encourage us. We think of Our Lady's compassion, Our Lady of Compassion. During her life, she went with haste. You know, we always see her helping people. She helped the young married couple from their embarrassment. She went with haste to help her cousin Elizabeth. We pray to Our Lady to help these poor souls. We ask her for this intercession and ask her to give us this conviction that we don't want to go there. We want to follow God's plan. We want to let God sanctify us. We want to put that time and that effort into becoming saints to glorify God for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.